Hello, B Team 6. You're listening to David and Sherry's new podcast, just for B Team 6 members only. And Sherry, there's no music.
Well, I could sing. What are you saying?
You know, some fancy podcasts, they have music, but I don't think podcasts use music anymore in the beginning.
Well, I don't listen to many podcasts, but the ones that I listen to do have music on the beginning. But
well, this one doesn't.
We could just buzz, I guess.
You know, when I listen to a podcast and I get caught up in all that introduction music, you know, and all that, it's like, come on, get to the point.
Yeah, it's like Netflix. Have you ever noticed you can just skip the intro on all those now?
On the movies?
Yeah, I think on anything on Netflix, you can skip the intro.
Oh, no. Wow.
Maybe it's not the movies. Maybe it's just like the, you know, the sitcoms. Maybe you just skip the intro.
Yeah.
So, but that's what I like to do sometimes on a podcast.
Yeah.
But when you're listening to it, you know, like if you're driving somewhere, you can't skip an intro or fast forward or anything like that.
So, you know, what I'd like to skip would be when you go, when we go to see a movie, I have to watch like 30 minutes, it seems like, of all these new trailers of movies coming up. And, oh, that's so boring. Have you noticed that? It's just more and more, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, especially if you're there promptly on time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get the real boring ones first.
Yeah.
Where they ask you the little quizzes. They ask you all the questions.
I haven't seen that
one. You know, and you try to answer the questions. You've not seen that?
No.
Well, we should have something like that here with our with our B-Team podcast here. We should have, like, I should ask you quizzes and see how fast you can answer the questions.
Oh, really? I'd be up for that.
Beekeeping questions.
Yeah, I'd be. You mean you'd see how fast I could answer them?
Yeah, see how fast or how many of them that you get right, you know?
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't be fair. You'd probably know it all.
We'd have to edit my mistakes. Like, no, you blew that one. Crop that out, you know?
That's right. He got wrong the last 3 out of 4, so.
Yeah. I thought they even knew something. I even knew that.
Well, no. I don't know anything.
You know everything.
I always tell people I'm just repeating what I hear you say. So
I'm just repeating what other people have said.
I guess we all are.
Yeah.
Everybody who's ever gone to college or...
Yep, that's
we're
true.
All just repeating something we heard somebody else say.
Although, you know, when I was a child, I used to play outdoors and I'd be out in the woods. I'd get chiggers, you know, so bad. And my mom and dad were intelligent people. And they, you know, my mom would say, oh, you've got chiggers? She'd get out her fingernail polish.
Oh, yeah.
And she would cover those up. She said, you've got...
clear fingernail polish.
Well, sometimes all she had was red.
Oh, gosh.
I'd have red dots all over me. But she swore that there was something in there, like an egg, a larva, a chigger itself.
Yeah, and you could suffocate
it.
Yeah,
she said you
got to
suffocate it.
Polish.
And that is not true at all.
That's not true.
How could that be false information in the 60s and 70s? We've advanced so much, haven't we?
Well, it's like that with beekeeping, too, you know?
Yes.
There's so many things. I don't know if it's as bad as it used to be, but we hear all the time people will ask us questions or call and ask us questions about some old wives' tale that they heard that they're still passing around in bee clubs or, you know, on some obscure blog posts, you know, on the internet and asking us, can they do that kind of thing? And, you know, you always have to kind of tread lightly because some people will swear to it to the death that it
they
works.
Do, don't they? I know.
But sometimes we have to go back and say, well, you know, science says that, they have gone out and researched that, and they've done it and found that it does not work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard to convince some people that some of those things that they hear just, you know, are not true and they do not work. So.
Yeah, I know. That is really frustrating. And I still hear it over and over again, you know, like, oh, I got a laying worker, so I need to shake all my bees out in the yard.
Yeah, way out in the yard.
And that way the laying worker can't fly back in, and that'd get rid of her. Well, you always have laying workers in a colony, even a queenright colony. And then the laying workers, there's more than one, they're foragers. And studies have shown they've marked them and watch them forage and come back. So if you throw your foragers or your laying workers in the yard,
they just go
they're
back.
Flying back to your hive. You wasted all that
time.
They
just come back, yeah.
Well, that's the way beekeeping, and I guess it's going to be forever. So this is cool. I'm looking forward to adding this addition to the Bee Team 6 mentorship program. We really appreciate all of you being part of the...
Oh, we do.
Yeah, coaching. It's cool.
It's been fun. I've talked to a lot of the people on the phone who've called about different things or even come in the office.
Yeah.
You know, and when a Bee Team 6 member comes in the office, David stops what he's doing and comes out and, you know, sits down and talks with them. Not that he won't anybody else, but Bee Team 6 members have a very special place when they when they come in here. Their own special room, and the coffee comes out.
Leather couches. Yeah, so we should make a little Bee Team 6 room.
We should.
You know? And when I'm at conferences, people will come up to me and say, "Hey, I'm one of your Bee Team 6 members. I'll be really far from home, Mississippi or Wisconsin." And it's like so cool to meet.
Yeah, that's nice.
We even had a chance to go out for supper with them once in a while when I'm at conferences, you know.
Yeah, it's we've been kind of thinking about having a get-together here, but our Bee Team 6 members are so strung out. I mean, they're even in other countries.
Yeah, right.
So we don't want to do anything that makes some people feel like, "Oh man, I can't go to that." But at the same time, it would be kind of nice to have a get together here and you know, see how many people can come over and just, you know, no agenda, just to, you know, sit around and talk bees and shoot the breeze. And
I wonder what beekeepers would talk about if you said, "Okay, you can't say anything about bees."
Oh, they talk about their chickens, you know, their gardens, you know.
Their hobbies.
And eventually you'd get back around to bees.
It would. I mean, you can't keep it from coming up, can you?
Well, no. I mean, most people who are beekeepers usually are people who garden, you know, or they, you know, they're master gardeners and they grow a lot of flowers and, you know, so it's all intertwined.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Since we're talking to only Bee Team 6 members, it's been a fun adventure for me. I've gained so much data from beekeepers around the country and beyond, and it has given me a sense of what they struggle with, what sort of issues they have. It's even enlightened me with what bees are dealing with out there. And this is just so much raw data. Every time somebody says, "Hey, look at this, what are my bees doing? And I haven't been able to, you know, find the queen. I don't see eggs. And what's wrong? Or is this a swarm? Or is this robbing?" It's made me a really good 911 operator. You know, people call me and say, I have to think on my feet really fast and rapidly and try to solve a problem. And boy, that's really sharpened my skills, I believe. Wow, I've really, you know, enjoyed it a lot. It's a lot of work for me, though. I mean, like today, I've spent the whole morning writing the article, videotaping, trying to get the right video cuts and editing, and it's a big addition to my week. But I do really enjoy it.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and the people make it so nice to deal with, because, you know, most of them are so, I don't know, there's just something about the people on Bee Team 6 they're just a nice group of people.
I agree.
You know, and they always seem very, you know, very appreciative of, you know, whatever,
yeah,
you know, whatever is going on. So it just makes it worthwhile to work with people. David answers the questions, but, you know, I'm still the one that does a lot of the, you know, all the bookkeeping and all the record keeping and all the, you know, credit card information. And, you know, so I still have to, you know, I still have to talk with people and deal with different situations like that. But they're always so nice about everything. So.
Yeah. Some people write me, you know, and just really let me know how much they appreciate me helping them. They'll send me pictures of something I guided them through and how it was successful. And yet there's still losses. You know, you can do everything right.
Oh, yeah.
And still things don't go well. That's the way it is with everything, right?
It is.
You can take your car to the mechanic and have every service done to it, you know, on time or ahead of schedule, and you still have your transmission breakdown. It's like, what? I had my transmission fluid changed.
Yeah, we've tried for years to grow apple trees out here. And we've bought him in lots of different places and at different nurseries, and we've put him in different places in the yard, and we've never been able to get apple trees to grow at all. And so one year, a few years ago, we had a woman that wanted to take a, I think, a queen rearing class or something like that. And so she bartered with us, and she knew that we were struggling with apple trees. And she said, well, you know, that's what she did. You know, I don't know. I don't remember if she ran a nursery or if she taught horticulture or something. Do you remember?
No, I don't know.
And so she brought out like six apple trees, and she actually, you know, she actually dug the holes and she planted them. And, you know, this is somebody who, she, you know, it was a specific kind, and she put them in a specific place. And out of those six trees, we only have two of those trees remaining. But then what was so funny is out of the blue, we've had an entire side yard just suddenly on its own reproduce all these apple trees out of we don't know where, but
you know.
Beekeeping's the same way. You know, you can sit there with six or eight hives and you struggle with them and only get two of them to live, and then all of a sudden you got a swarm and some weird, you know, tire, you know, on an old tractor over there, and it's been there for 3 years, and you think, what the heck, what's it doing over there?
But yeah,
it's the same thing.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to ask you a question before we actually run out of time in this particular podcast. But it's the time of year, at least where we live here, for feeding colonies again. And the reason is because there's nothing out there.
Mm-mm.
There's no flowers out there. We went out on the – we got the golf cart out the other night and went up and down the lane, and boy, we didn't see anything out there. And there's no honeybees out there on the flowers. We saw a few butterflies, but that's about it. So what do you do this time of year when there's no flowers?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to ask you about that. I thought maybe we could talk about that for a minute. What do you do in the late summer? Now the goldenrod had come up again, and they'll start bringing in that goldenrod, but the goldenrod kind of smells.
Yeah, it does.
You know, and then, but then it'll go away too. And then the weather will still be really, really nice, you know, all the way up to Thanksgiving. So tell me what it is that you're supposed to do with feeding colonies. But here's the big question with that too, because I have people call me and ask me this all the time. You start feeding the bees sugar water, and there's some people, David, that never stop.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
Some people start doing it in the spring, and they never, ever stop through the entire summer. But what do you do if you want to get that honey to eat? Because it sounds to me it's nothing but sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It's sugar honey, so you don't want to eat that stuff.
Yeah. I like your question. The one part of your question I didn't like, though, is – you told people we went down in our golf cart and looked at the flowers.
Yeah.
That makes us sound old. You know, that we would drive around in a car
We are. Did you miss that memo?
I don't feel old.
Did you miss the last memo on your birthday how old you were?
35.
35. Yeah, and I'm 33. Right. Watch Etta. A couple, two or three decades.
Or it makes us sound grossly overweight that we can't, you know, we have to go around in a golf cart.
No, it means that we're extraordinarily exhausted at the end of a long day of,
you know, that's
beekeeping,
right. Yeah.
That we have to sit in the golf cart.
We live a quarter mile away from our mailbox.
That's right. So
I'm not walking down there every day, and I don't want to take the car. It seems silly to take a car to get your mail.
Well, yeah.
All right. Well, back to the question. That's a tough one because goldenrod, we have a lot of goldenrod, even on our own property, probably a good half acre or an acre of it. I'm not impressed with it really doing much for bees in the fall.
No, really?
No.
You don't think it does?
Mm-mm. And I've seen some studies that show it's not the most best food choice of protein and things like that for the bees, minerals and so on. Mm. However, you know, it is a good fall crop. Goldenrod is kind of funny. Sometimes it blooms. It always blooms, but sometimes it produces more nectar than other years based on the rainfall during the summer, the pH of the soil, and et cetera. So you don't want to depend on that. You really need to feed your bees. So I'm recommending people start feeding their bees about a week or two when they see the bees are no longer going out. I mean, you'll see like 20 bees a minute. That's nothing. I mean, yeah, that's nothing. That's them not keeping up with what they need to do inside that colony. So unless you see 100, 200, 500 a minute, that's not an nectar flow.
Well, I'm looking out the window now, and I really don't see anybody coming and going at all.
Yeah, I just videotaped that as part of the B-Team 6 video.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I showed them. There's some coming in with a kind of a dark yellow pollen, but again, very little. They would consume that. If they doubled it, they would consume it as fast as they brought it in the door. So people are misled. So you got to feed them. But if you want to try to go for the fall honey, you know, like if you do want to harvest goldenrod honey or other honey in the fall, like maybe you got a super that's almost capped over, but not really, but you feel like there's a dearth and you want to feed them, or you want to, you know, make sure they don't go into a protein deprivation, you almost have to take that honey super off and freeze it, you know, get the bees out of there, freeze it, store it somewhere like in a room that's dehumidified. And see if you can feed them until you're ready to and notice that they're foraging again. And then you can put that super back on and see if they can add to it or cap it off.
Oh.
But you don't want to feed bees at the same time that you have a honey super on there that you want to harvest.
I think a lot of people do that.
Yeah, they do.
I think they forget that they've, you know, fed them most of the year. And then,
yeah.
And then they're like, oh, we've got honey. But it's like, that's not really honey.
No, it's sugar water. It's sugar water. They've added some enzymes to it, you know, so it's not just plain sugar water. But it certainly isn't from a floral source, unless you would consider, you know, cane sugar or beets a floral source.
Okay, but you're saying that's okay for the bees to subsist on through the winter time.
Oh, yeah.
That sugar water.
Absolutely.
Even though it's not real honey?
Because I encourage people to add protein or pollen powder to that sugar water. That's right.
So you're saying you add the protein in the sugar water.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not saying pollen patties or some... I've seen some people try to put the powder pollen, like just kind of scatter it out there.
On the ground.
On the ground or
in
sometimes
the
in the frames.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm. Here's the thing. This is a real simple... I look at beekeeping as simply as I can. Simple as I can. And it's this. When bees go out and forage on flowers, they also get pollen throughout their body, on their little hairs. And all that pollen gets brought back to the hive. But a lot of it falls into the honey. Even into their honey crop, their honey stomach, the first stomach, a lot of pollen is in there. The proventricular valve pulls it back into the second gut where it can be broken down and digested into the lining of the stomach walls and bee protein that they absorb into their muscles. But so in nature, what they consume has protein in it in the way of pollen. So I just created that idea in the sugar water they're drinking out of the jars. Add enough, doesn't take much, a teaspoon, a quart maybe of pollen powder. And that way when they ingest the sugar water, they're also doing what they do in nature. They're eating a little bit of the protein as well.
That doesn't just clump up there?
A little bit. It's so powdery that it will clump up. And I use my little high-powered glasses to look at it after they drained it down. They put their proboscis up through that little hole, and all around it, they just nibbled away at the protein. I mean, it only settles just a little bit, like maybe less than an eighth of an inch. It will settle on the lid when they empty it out.
Mm.
But most of it is still suspended. We do that with the Winter Bee Kind boards. We infuse that pollen powder into that candy, too.
Sure, but then it becomes a solid,
yes.
So it stays suspended.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
For the it
clumps up, though. Some
no,
of the Winter Bee Kind,
up.
Yeah,
yeah,
right. They like that pollen. They like protein. Bees really need a lot of protein to survive like we do.
I don't think we knew that back in the back in the old days.
No.
Back before the golf cart.
Yeah.
I don't think what we understood the whole idea of protein.
Right. Back when parents
back
were still
90s
still putting fingernail polish on sugar.
Yeah.
We didn't know that, did we?
No. There was none of that kind of information, I don't think, back then.
And, you know, the old paradigm, people don't know it today. It's being circulated. Give them 2-to-1 sugar water in the fall. fall. You got to have that sugar in that hive so they make it through winter. But actually, some studies, and I've cited them, I think they were out of Germany, but they showed that if you just feed bees sugar, it's actually worse for them. It's detrimental. They don't live on just sugar. We think they do, but they don't. They live on so much of that protein.
Yeah.
You know, well, imagine what our lives would be living on sugar. And, you know, we're in the animal kingdom, too.
Yeah, you could survive, but yeah. It wouldn't be a very good.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a good way to. So we don't want the bees just to survive. You know, mm-hmm. We need them to thrive. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Sherry, you've been really busy with the business. You put a lot of time into taking care of customers. Wow, do you get exhausted? That's a yes.
Well, I don't in the summer so much, but
yeah.
But believe it or not, our biggest time is in the winter time.
Busy.
Through the months of November and December and January, and then I do get exhausted.
So. We go right now. You know, we'll start producing Winter Bee Kinds from now until February usually, and then we go right into the whole classes, making a lot of hives, packages of bees,
shipping
all that out. And then we go right into queen rearing and the summer activities. So. I think we're going to try to take a week or two off, though, coming up, aren't we, in October?
Yeah.
We're going to close the business for a week or so.
I don't know about that.
Trisha will be here?
Yeah, there
okay.
should be. There
we'll
should
be
people
gone.
Here.
We'll be
yeah,
gone.
Yeah, we'll be gone. So. Okay, well, I need to be gone now.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to our first ever Bee Team 6 podcast, and I hope you appreciate this. It's just an added bonus of our appreciation of you being a Bee Team 6 member. See you next time.
Bye-bye.